You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ for a look at this week's two events. We are going to preview the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open and the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship on this edition of the podcast. And of course we'll talk about the US Open last week as well. Dave Tindall, first of all, a good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning to you, Dave, as well. Did you enjoy the US Open?
I did enjoy the US Open. I thought it was an absolutely outstanding performance from Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, it was a quite brilliant display on Sunday in particular. To win a US Open by six shots, shooting the only under par score on Sunday in the final group, just has to be applauded. And you've got to respect him for what he did in the off-season to change his body shape, to beat the game of golf, basically, Dave, and he's been vindicated in no uncertain terms with that win at the US Open.
Yeah, I know in the past I've maybe said I find him a bit much when he's sort of saying, look how clever I am. And, you know, he can get narky as well, can't he? And he doesn't really top many people's most likable golfers list. But I absolutely, massive admiration for him, what he did at the US Open. I just thought it was fantastic. And I thought it was a bit lazy just to say, oh, he's only won it because he smashed the ball further than anyone else. There was more to it than that. If you look at some of the stats, I think Rory McIlroy gained more strokes off the tee.
Yeah.
And DeChambeau was, I think he was third strokes gained around the green, the third for scrambling. So he didn't just, you know, smash it and then anyone could have won from where he was. He had to do all parts of the game. And obviously, you've got to have the mental side as well. I just thought he was fantastic in the US Open because there were times when he had a little wobble and you thought someone who's not made of stern stuff could just slip away here. But he kept faith in what he was doing and was totally rewarded. So, yeah, fair play to him.
Was the setup wrong this week, Dave? Because that's what many traditionalists have said on the back of this championship. And I just want to pull up a quote from Bryson following the US Open. He said they made the fairways too small this week for the guys that were really hitting the fairway. If it's too narrow, length is going to win. If it's too wide, length is going to win. And he did get the feeling that because the fairways were so firm and so narrow, you couldn't find these for everyone was finding the rough, and then it does give an advantage to the longer hitters. And we did see power hitters come to the fore in that final group with Matthew Wolff and Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point that the more you narrow it, the worse it is. It's sort of counterintuitive, isn't it? Because then everyone misses, and then if you're further up the fairway, it's a lot easier to find the green. So yeah, I think the next line of defence is maybe just to have it a bit more wide open and then say, well, you know, take your chance with other parts of your game. But it's been a theme in the US Open for a while, big hitters of winning. And I must admit, if I ever see a course like that again, there's no way I'm mucking about back in Chez Reavy or somebody like that. Because it's ridiculous, isn't it? There's no chance. They've got, I mean, Zach Johnson was he ninth? He had to put the lights out to be there. So unless you somehow fluke someone putting incredibly, you've no chance with these short hitters. So, yeah, that's gone in the notebook. Forget it if I see a course like that again.
Yeah, his belief, Bryson DeChambeau, was that if he put more weight on, he'd have a better chance of winning because he'd be able to hit the ball further, generate more swing speed and ball speed, and it's been vindicated. Has he devalued, or has a player like him devalued the artistry on which the game was built? Is it up to the R&A and the USGA to get a handle on things and roll the ball back and control the manufacturers and what they can do with the technology available?
Well, no, because it's not like he wins every week, is it? I think people get scared. I mean, when Tiger came out, we've got to tiger-proof these courses, and then Bubba Watson hit it too far. And not enough credit goes for the other parts of the game with these players, I don't think. So it's up to everyone else, isn't it? They either try and do what he does or do something different. But DeChambeau isn't just winning because he hits it a mile.
Yeah.
That's got to be sort of rubbed out, that myth. It's a massive help to him, but he doesn't just spend all his days eating raw meat and thrashing the ball, does he? He works on all the other parts of the game too.
And Tiger Woods has said in the past he is the hardest worker on tour, and he's just got to be respected, hasn't he, Bryson DeChambeau, for what he's done in the last 6 months?
Yeah, you work hard. It used to be Harrington, didn't he? Harrington won all those majors. And if you work really hard at whatever you're doing, you're going to have a leg up on a lot of these players. And DeChambeau, yeah, he doesn't leave us in any doubt that he works hard and goes into all this strategy, but it pays off.
One interesting point that was brought up by Ryan Ballingy on Twitter, a golf journalist, he said he wanted to talk about Bryson's wedges because having them at 37.5 inches, basically 2 inches more than standard, allows him to generate more speed and send the ball sky high. And his belief is that has to give him an added edge. So that's an interesting little theory on DeChambeau as well.
Yeah, and there's no stopping anyone else doing that, is there? Because that's not about putting on 25 pounds of, that's just about working out science and stuff and you know, looking what's in front of you on the PGA Tour and thinking, what can I do to change it? And yeah, he's ahead of the curve, isn't he, basically?
Do you think he's changed the game?
Too soon to say. I mean, what if everyone now follows him? And I don't know. It's just, I don't think there needs to be this mass panic that things have got to change massively. I just think he's come out and made people think.
Yeah, and I don't think we've seen courses combat distance, haven't we, on the PGA Tour, TPC Sawgrass and Harbortown combat distance. I just think there's a different way to set up the golf course to do that than this week. And I'm not saying the USGA got it wrong by any stretch of the imagination. We had the best player this week win the golf tournament. But I don't think tight, narrow fairways and knee-high rough is the way to go.
No, but for all that, if his short game hadn't been on point, we wouldn't be having this conversation if he'd finished 22nd. It's just that it now seems like everything was wrong because he happened to play a fantastic all-round game that took advantage of everything. But it takes so much to win a major that it's not just because you blast the ball a long way.
Mm. Any other thoughts from the week before we move on?
Matthew Wolf's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Blimey. It was almost, you know, that conversation we had, it was like, well, Morikawa was winning the US PGA, Wolf's won the US Open, so Hovland obviously wins the next one.
Yeah.
Is he even in the Masters, though? I don't know.
Victor Hovland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's in.
Right, so it's one to look at maybe, but yeah. No, I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as a tournament, and obviously, we were on Patrick Reed, but I don't know about you, but at halfway, I thought, there's a lot not to like about what's happening here.
His short game was just absolutely phenomenal, wasn't it, Thursday,
yeah,
Friday?
Yeah, but you can only play the get-out-of-jail card for so long, can't you? And it did catch up with him.
Let's talk about this week then. The Dubai Duty Free Irish Open is the event on the European Tour. Shane Lowry tops the betting at 7-1. George Kutsair 11-1. Ryan Fox 22s. Conor Syme is 25-1. Wilco Nienaber is in the betting at 25. Jason Scrivener is 25-1. Gary Kigo 28-1 and is 30-1 and bigger the rest. And this kicks off 4 straight tournaments in the UK and Ireland this week, and it's attracted a decent if unspectacular field, I think that's fair to say. And Lowry, who famously won this as an amateur, is at the top of the betting after his week in New York last week, and he's the right favourite here, isn't he, Dave? I think at 7-1, and he's been quite well supported as well. I think he opened 8s or 9s. He's into 7-1 now at the top of the betting.
Yeah, he's the big local hero, and people have probably got in mind what he did in the Open Championship the last time he was on Irish turf. So, not for me though, I have to say. I think to win at that price, you've got to have maybe more going for you than him, and his form's been patchy, hasn't it? And
yeah,
he's just come back from the US Open.
This week's host is Galgorm Castle Golf Club. Some comments and thoughts from those on Twitter that have either played the course or live nearby suggest it's going to be bread and butter, really, for these players, and particularly if the wind doesn't get up, and it's not forecast to be strong this week. So a pretty short par 70, 7,000 yards, just two par fives on the layout. And for those looking for course form, Galgome Castle has been used for the Northern Ireland Open on the Challenge Tour since 2013. Winning scores have ranged from 6-under to 19-under. That's because of the weather. Looks like a typical parkland test here, Dave. Any further comments on the course and what sort of player it's going to suit this week?
Well, it's always, are you always a little bit kind of, oh, I wish it was just on the coast?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It slightly throws me when they have these ones inland. Same in Scotland when they're inland, I think, oh, right. I was sort of had a certain kind of Lynx thoughts in my head, and I've got to readjust now. Mm. So yeah, but it's good that we've got all this Challenge Tour form, I must admit, and I'm going to lean on some of that.
Yeah, I've just looked at players that are playing well, really, Dave, to be honest. It's that simplistic this week, and yeah. I'll be interested to see over the first couple of days how things pan out and whether there's maybe an in-running bet available this week as well. But I've just got the one sole selection, personally.
Yeah, I've got two.
Okay, I'll let you lead off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Callum Hill at 45-1. He's a bigger price than he should be, really, because he's had a couple of poor weeks on the Iberian Peninsula. He missed the cut at Valderrama, pair 77s, but obviously that was such a hard course, and a lot of players bombed out there with their kind of, you know, having taken a few knocks. Maybe it was a little bit of a hangover when he opened the following week in Portugal with a 73. Did shoot under par in round two, but a pair of missed cuts then for Callum Hill. But if you rewind just a little bit further back to August and the summer when he was, all the events were in the UK, he finished ninth in the UK Championship in England and eighth in the Wales Open in Wales, funnily enough. So he's got some really good recent form. I don't know if you remember during lockdown, he actually won one of those outlaw events in Arizona. That was in March, which gave him a little bit of a boost because I think his girlfriend lived out there. So Callum Hill, I think he's got the form on UK turf. But the thing that I really like is the fact that he's got a winning form at Galgome Castle. He won the Northern Ireland Open there in 2018, 66, 67, 68, 64. So shot some low numbers there. Then seventh when he played it the following year. So first and seventh in two course knocks is very impressive for him. And I just think that price is a little bit inflated because of the two recent miscuts, which I think you can pretty much gloss over to some extent. So, he's the one for me at 45s, Callum Hill. I've been watching him for a while. I think he's a really one of these sort of young Scottish guys who are coming through, and I think this could be a big week for him.
Okay, 45-1, Callum Hill, Dave's first selection. I'm going with an Englishman. Laurie Cantor is my pick here. Maybe this is the week he gets just reward for that excellent recent ball striking. He was second at the Portugal Masters, ranked fourth in strokes gained tee to green. Before that, 13th in the UK Championship, eighth in strokes gained tee to green that week. And prior to that, he'd finished tied fifth in the Hand of Wales Open, where his ball striking wasn't quite as good, but still posted a top finish. The putters clearly let him down, but right now he's just in the form of his life, and a standard Parkland test like this shouldn't hold him back in the slightest. And I just thought, in this field, 33-1 was a fair price about arguably one of the most informed players in the field this week. So Cantor at 33-1 is my sole selection here, Dave.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at someone in form, he's right there, isn't he, Laurie Cantor? And I always think he's got a name that should be sort of introduced on a 70s chat show. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Laurie Cantor. Yeah. Oh, he's playing a piano or something. He's just got a sort of show-busy name.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? Yeah. I think 33-1 is, it's fair, I think, about
a player in such
good form.
Yeah.
Obviously, the most informed players at the top of the betting, isn't he, alongside Shane Lowry and George Katsaya at 11-1?
Yeah. Ryan Fox is interesting at 22s because he always plays well in Ireland, but he had a bit of a tough time at the US Open. I'm going to jump down to 55-1 for my second bet.
Yep.
This is a sort of fascinating one in terms of the stats. It's Dean Burmester.
Okay.
because he's put in like an absolute god, but his long game isn't any good at all. But I'm thinking maybe on this track he can get away with it to some level, and that, it'd be more of a...
That is Burmester, isn't it? He drives the ball long and puts incredibly well.
Yes, and but some of the in-between stuff's a bit iffy. But I'm hoping... I mean, look at his last four events in terms of strokes gained putting. He's ranked second, first, first and second. So if this does become quite an easy test and it's just who's got the hot putter, then he's very much in position. I think he's obviously his driving distance stats are there to see as well. He's smashing it over 320 in all these events. In terms of how that all translated, then he was sixth in the English Championship, and then 47th at the Celtic Classic, 21st Wales Open, 31st UK Championship. So a bit in and out, but he's someone who can always throw in a low round. He did one of those at the English Championship at 63s. I think he'd be happy again that he's had a few weeks off after that run of, I think he played all six in a row there in England. So he's rested up while the others went to Valderrama. So hopefully he's found a little bit more in his long game. But if that putter stays hot, I think he could do some damage at 55-1.
55-1, Dean Burmester. Any others caught the eye? You mentioned Ryan Fox, who's got a win in a Challenge Tour event here. I liked the look of Aaron Rye, who's available at 33-1. And Johannes Veerman as well, I thought, would play well this week. He's 40-1. He caught the eye with his... striking in recent weeks, 10th at the Andalusia Masters in tough conditions, 8th place finish at the Portugal Masters. I was just looking for those players that come into this in good form, and a 10th and an 8th in his last two starts. That looks decent to me. So I liked Rye at 33s and Veerman at 40s.
Yeah, and Mikko Korhonen at 40s as well. Always a little bit underrated, I think. Could go well. Sebastian Soderberg's been playing as well. Pretty good golf as well, 50-1. But yeah, it's not an event I want to throw too many bets at, to be honest, so I'm happy with my two.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, just the one selection for me, a couple for Dave there. Let's move on to the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship on the PGA Tour. Here at William Hill, by the way, we are top price on the top 10 in the betting, and we're paying 8 places each way on this event as well. So nice concession there with William Hill for the Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship this week. And Will Zalatoris is the 12-1 favourite. Mackenzie Hughes 16-1. Corey Connors 18-1. Sam Burns is 20s. Adam Long 25s. Emiliano Grillo is 28-1. Charles Howell 30s. Thomas Dietrich 33-1. Henrik Stenson, Pat Perez, Christopher Ventura, Denny McCarthy, Sepp Straiker, all 35-1. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. And the Dominican Republic is the destination for this week's PGA Tour tournament. And while this usually operates as an opposite field event, it stands alone this week, which means we've got a slightly more elite lineup, and it's not been quite as easy for the Korn Ferry Tour players who usually get in to get an entry this week on the PGA Tour. But everyone's talking about Will Zalatoris. He's dominating the conversation ahead of the event. And rightly so, I suppose, Dave, because he's probably one of the top 50 players in the world right now. And he's in on merit this week after his top 10 last week. That's my opinion on Zalatoris anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he was great at the US Open. I think maybe a few people were seeing him for the first time there and thought, wow, who's this guy? So, yeah, he did have a big week, but... It's never as simple, is it, that then you put him a drop in class and then he wins at a short price. It always seems you've been tricked if that happens, if you're willing to take this sort of price. As far as that's my line of thinking anyway, I wouldn't want to back him after such a big week like that at a short price coming in here.
Yeah, I agree. I think 12-1 is...
It's so much silly.
Yeah, I think he is... going to be absolutely top class, Zalatoris.
In time, yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder where the 12-1 this week. I think you'll get people sucked in, though, by the price. Mm. And I'd be surprised if it happened this week for Zalatoris.
I would. I mean, I'm happy to be proved wrong. And if he does go on and win, then great. And what, not another player to look at.
You'd probably struggle. You'd probably struggle to get a different... these courses are polar opposites, aarn't they? Winged Foot and this Corrales Golf Club. It's only a decade old, this course, and it runs by the coast. The fairways are like runways, and finding them this week won't be an issue, really. Very much a second shot course, a test of scrambling. And even though it's quite long for a par 72, two of the par fives on the back nine are over 600 yards, and they are true three-shot holes. So, and the greens are really slow as well here. So it's a complete polar opposite to what we saw last week at Wingfoot.
Yeah, definitely. And those greens, they're Paspalum greens, which is that seaside strain of grass that we see in a few events. So there's some good correlating course form with Mayakoba in Mexico that we see in the Puerto Rico Open. So you look at some of the form there. McDowell really did enhance it, didn't it? McDowell won this last year and he'd won in Mexico before. So there's a definite liking or for those who play well on Paspalum, they've definitely liked that kind of these little events in outside of the US mainland. So I've certainly looked at that for my thinking.
I've got one pick, and I believe you've got two here, Dave.
Yeah, I've got two, and one of them is in the top 10 in the betting. So we've got best price on him at William Hill, 35-1. Pat Perez.
I liked him. He was. If I'd have had two picks, I think I might have gone with Pat Perez at 35s, but I've just settled on the one.
Yeah. Perhaps the surprising thing is he's coming in here with a top 10. It doesn't seem like he's done an awful lot of late, but he was dropping hints because he was top 25 at the 3M Open and the Barracuda, 23rd and 18th there. And then he had a couple of withdrawals, which put a red flag up maybe for the Safeway Open. But he was ninth there with a 65, followed by 369s. It's his first look at this course. So we need to rely on this sort of correlating course form idea. But he's got it because at Mayakoba, he's got a win in 2016 and 6th and 8th. In the last two editions. And he actually was quoted talking about the greens there. And he said, the Paspalum greens, he wasn't quoted there. The Sim Classic or CIMB Classic, yes, as we always debate, he used to have those. And he was interviewed there a few years ago. And he said, they asked him, why are you doing so well, Pat? And he said, it's not the course that suits Maya, it's the greens. Mayakoba, where I won, has the same greens. And I put it better than anyone else there too. So a big fan of the greens, and I think that is a definite leg up for him this week. And again, if it's going to be a low scores, Pat Perez, down the years, you've seen him shoot daft numbers, 61s and things like that. And I just thought overall he had a good package. Last time he played at the Safeway Open, he was actually second, 4 strokes gained putting. And I think putting is important this week on those greens. If you look at some of the stats from previous years, McDowell putted really well, and as did most of those in the top five. So I think you need a hot putter. Pat Perez has got that. He's on a course that I don't think it needs a lot of learning, and I think he can just turn up here and enjoy the greens and have a big week.
Okay, Pat Perez at 35-1, do like that. But I'm going to just go slightly bigger in the market. Xinjun Zhang is my selection here at 40-1.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too far away from the correct pronunciation. I'm hoping he benefits from a slightly weaker field, as he did when finishing 14th at the Safeway Open a couple of weeks ago. He's also finished tied 10th at the Memorial and tied 12th at the 3M Open since the tour resumed. At the Safeway, he gained 5 strokes on approach, which is probably what you're looking for this week, and he's gained strokes putting in 5 of his last 6 events as well. And Zhang has got course form. He finished tied 5th here in 2018, won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, so he's a winner. And I thought 40-1 was fair on Zhang this week, so he's my sole selection.
Very good. Yeah. Yes. I'm going to jump down to 80-1 for my second selection, and that is Seamus Power.
Yes.
Do you ever find yourself in perhaps moments of loneliness looking at the PGA Tour's all-round stats?
Occasionally.
I'd like to think it's only when I'm doing a golf preview that I'm looking at these, but when you do look at them, his name's on there, like always it seems to be in the top 10, and you think, what's that about? Because everyone else is world famous and a regular winner, and you think, what's Seamus Power doing that he's in that company? Because the all-round stat obviously, as it suggests, measures all parts of your game. So you think, well, why doesn't he do better than he does? So it's always been the case where I've thought, I want to back this guy, but I've got to find the right event. And maybe this is the one, because on this course, he's played it three times. He's got a fifth and a seventh, which is very encouraging. So something about it he really likes. And you think maybe with those numbers, course form in a not a great field, it'd be a bit shorter than that. And you think, well, he must have terrible recent form. But that isn't true either, because in August, he was ninth in the Barracuda, which was a nice knock, and then 27th at the Wyndham. Back to July, he was 12th at the Rocket Mortgage. So he has, you know, turned these raw numbers into actual results in recent times, with three decent efforts there in his last six events. So I'm just hoping at some point that all-round stat will make complete sense. The other one he was really high up in, and this is important this week, is birdie average. Again, it's a who's who.
But yeah.
He's fifth in that, and you're thinking, okay, well, that's pretty useful. The last two winners here, McDowell and Bryce Garnett, they topped the birdie stats for the week. So it is a course where you need to make lots of them. There's going to be some win this week, but I don't think it's anything dramatic. So Seamus Power's ability to make all those birdies on a course he likes seems to add up to someone who should go well, and I thought 80-1 was more than fair.
Very good. 80-1 on Seamus Power and 35-1 on Pat Perez. I'm going with Xinzheng Zhang at 40-1. Any others you want to mention towards the head of the betting? I mean, Mackenzie Hughes has been threatening a breakthrough, hasn't he? And his weakness really is off the tee, Hughes, and it's not going to be punished this week. He's 16-1. I obviously thought he'd go well last week, Mackenzie Hughes, and I just wonder whether it might be a week for him.
Yeah, he's certainly someone who I initially looked at, and then I saw his price and thought, oh.
Yeah, right. I think that's okay. The same with me. I just think that you lean heavily on short game here and putting, and those are his two main weapons, really. And it looks a good fit for Mackenzie Hughes as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I looked at Adam Long.
Yeah, me too.
A little bit put off, 25-1. He was really good in the US Open, 13th. Their runner-up in the 3M Open. He won, didn't he, in California. Was it a year? Not last season.
Makes loads of birdies as well, doesn't he, when he's on?
Yeah, makes a ton of birdies. And he's got course form. He played this course in 2017 when it was a Korn Ferry event and was 8. So he's got plenty going for him. But I just thought 25s was a reflection of that, to be honest. I'm interested to see how Thomas Dietrich plays.
Yeah, you could argue that he, if you take out Will Zalatoris, and maybe even if you don't take out Will Zalatoris, he's got the potential to be the best player in this field.
Yeah, definitely. He's obviously struggled to get over the line in Europe, but he's finished runner-up twice in his last five events at the Hero Open, the Celtic Classic. So he's someone who can reward you with the each-way money, and he's got the course. So he played it last year. You thought, what's he doing in the field this year? Well, he got an invite last year and played and was 33rd. Actually, was going better than that, 66 in round two. So after that kind of sighter, I think he could be interesting at 33s. But again, you're thinking, if he can't win on the European Tour, will he be able to suddenly win on the PGA Tour?
Yeah. I suppose this is the sort of event that he could maybe win on the PGA Tour, because it does feel like it's sort of like a PGA Tour Korn Ferry hybrid, isn't it, kind of thing?
It does, but he will know that it is a pure PGA Tour event. So, he'll have that on his mind. In terms of anyone else?
I was looking at Will Gordon, but I think this course kind of negates his real strength, which is off the tee.
Yes.
And that kind of puts me off Will Gordon, because you think of a 7,600-yard par 72, and this must be it must be where the bombers thrive and feast. But you mentioned Bryce Garnett and Graham McDowell; they are archetypal plodders, aren't they? Really?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's definitely an event where everyone can have a go at this.
Yeah, definitely.
I did look at others. Keith Mitchell was runner-up last time he played it, 2018. He's 66s. I also had a look at Aaron Baddeley, who seems to play well in all those kind of Puerto Rico, these type of events. He's 150s, I think. So he's the one who could fly from a big price. I don't know why it is. I think he likes the seaside. He likes, I saw a quote, he likes kind of playing by the sea and the wind and when it's like a bit of a laid back atmosphere. So even though he's got a lot of missed cuts, he's got the odd good effort here and there recently, but it's very much the type of course this one he seems to like.
Very good. Thank you, Dave. Let's recap the selections then for this week, starting with the Irish Open.
Yeah, so I'm going to have a point each way in all my tips this week. So the two in the Irish Open I like are Callum Hill at 45-1 and Dean Burmester at 55-1.
Yeah, I like a point each way on Laurie Cantor at 33-1. And in the States, or not the States, in the PGA Tour event?
Yep, again a point each way. So I'll do Pat Perez at 35-1 and Seamus Power at 80-1.
Yeah, I'm just going to have half a point each way on Jinjun Zhang in the Dominican Republic this week at 40-1 as my sole selection. I do like Pat Perez, though, as well, towards the top of the betting there. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that tuned in and listened. Do follow us both on Twitter, if you're not already doing so, at D Kellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf. And if you like the podcast, give us a retweet as well there. I'll post this in due course, and you can check out myself and Dave on Twitter as well. Thank you, Dave, for your company. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Myself and Dave will be back next week. And make sure you get your bets on here with William Hill. Check out all the markets at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, for the Corrales Punta Cana Championship this week, we are top price on the top 10 in the betting, and we are paying 8 places each way as well. Thank you for listening. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.